This podcast is made possible by Lincoln. Discover how uplifting a drive can be at lincolncanada.com.
When I was a kid, anytime I visited my grandmother's house, I would hover around her kitchen. I remember standing in the hallway time after time, close enough to investigate what she was making, but far enough that I wouldn't be in the way. She was Italian, so I'd often overhear the sound of dough slapping against a cutting board, a big stainless steel bowl clanking against the counter as she made meatballs, pasta being dropped into a pot of boiling water. But there was one sound that may as well have been a siren. It sent me running into the kitchen so fast. The sound of the electric mixer, which meant she'd soon sneak me a beater covered in icing. To this day, if I hear a mixer running, regardless of what is being made with it, I feel a spark of delight. I'm Carly Lewis, your host of The Sound Of, a Globe Content Studio podcast. In today's episode, we'll explore the sound of food. Another sound I love, the crunch of biting into a really crisp piece of tomato bread. Sound affects how we perceive the texture, taste, and flavor of the foods we eat. There's science to back this up. According to a 2010 study led by Charles Spence at the University of Oxford's Experimental Psychology Department, it's human nature to associate taste with elements of sound, like pitch. Spence and his research team brought 34 people into their lab to test their theory and found that every single person connected different flavors to different instrument sounds. Umami and bitter tastes consistently reminded people of low-pitched sounds, while across the board, all test subjects associated sweet and sour tastes with high-pitched sounds. So the connection between sound and taste is there, even if we, as diners, don't realize it. But it's something that many chefs thoughtfully consider when they're creating new dishes. As head chef and owner of East, an innovative tasting menu and cocktail restaurant in Toronto's East End, Sean McDonald has an important relationship with food and the sensory elements that impact taste. Sean spent much of his life working out the connection between food and the senses. In 2016, at the age of 25, he won the San Pellegrino Young Chef Award for a duck and carrot dish inspired by his grandfather. For Sean, food is a labor of love. Perfecting a dish is not just about texture, taste, appearance, or shape. It's about how all of these senses work together. And crucially, it's also about sound.
For me, I'm a very sensory type of person. I'm driven off of that stuff. Like if you see me and I'm about to eat a dish, I'm like smelling it before I taste it. I'm like that kind of guy. Especially with even like coming up with dishes, I'll like put my nose in the food before I taste it just because I want to see where we're at with the food. And I love the overwhelming sense of everything in a dish. Like eating food for me is such a big thing. Textures taste better just because of the sounds that come out.
Similar to my enjoyment of the noise made by eating tomato bread, Sean says puffed pork skin is addictive because of the sound it makes when we eat it.
So with chicharrón, it's like pork skin that's cooked out and then dried, and then you fry it and it puffs up, like doubles or triples in size, and then it gets super crunchy and you can just bite through it and you can hear all of the crackling in your ear. That's why they kind of call it crackling. But it tastes so good if you just make it like super salty and super crunchy just from the sounds of it. We got these like amazing cheese curds from Quebec, and when you ate them, you could just hear the squeaking of the cheese because it was the squeakiest cheese ever. So I'd like always pop one in my mouth and like squeak it out and just loved hearing that sound. I feel like sound sometimes with that is just like salt in itself. It's like seasons the food and makes it taste that much better to you.
Honing in on the exact psychology behind why certain foods make diners feel certain ways is an art form for Sean. His artistic muscle is one that he learned to flex in his childhood. Before food, it was painting with his mother.
In my childhood, I used to fake sick, and she'd give me like flat pop and like melted cheese on crackers and stuff, and I'd stay home. I'd end up going upstairs and like painting with her. She'd listen to her music and like hum and like paint, and then that's when I started to develop my creative side, so because I draw with her. I've always been very in tune with art. Now I found cooking is just my medium to present art. The most important thing for me for food is taste. I got into food because I would go out to eat all the time. I'd make food because I loved doing it, because I loved seeing people's faces light up. But then as soon as I started cooking, I realized how much I love the art behind it. And there's so many amazing chefs out there creating insanely artistic dishes. That's like a big driving force for me, is like trying to push something and come up with like a different way that you can present food.
Sean admits that sometimes the element of surprise in dish presentation is the best part. Just like how, when you had Pop Rocks for the first time as a kid and were shocked to hear mini fireworks exploding on your tongue, there are some dishes that Sean creates where leaving the guest feeling startled and intrigued is the goal.
I like the experience aspect of food because you can like trick people into like eating things that they wouldn't expect to eat, or make people see food in a different way. There's like two dishes on the menu right now that I like to go and take to the guest. One is this, it actually just came off the menu. It kind of looks like Dippin' Dots all over the place. So we do like a corn custard, a mousse of foie gras, and poached lobster, and I plated them all in these little dots. And after we cut off all the corn and juice it into the mousse, we take the cores and we smoke them and we make a broth with it and we pour that tableside. So I like to take it out to the guests because I put it down in front of the table and they just finish the conversation where they're like laughing and talking. I'll put it down and everybody just gets so bummed out. So I'll pour the broth tableside, I'll explain the dish, and I'll walk away and I'll like stand at the corner and look at their reaction. It's kind of like a flavor bomb dish. The fat of the foie, the sweetness of the corn, and the smoky flavor just like envelops your mouth. I'll stand around the corner and people will take the first bite and then they'll go like, oh my God, this is really good.
We'll talk more about how Sean plays with the senses in his dish creation in a moment.
Performance comes in many flavors on the road. There's the amped up, overtuned kind, and in the new Lincoln Aviator, there's the kind that just leaves you feeling better overall. More relaxed, more uplifted, more alive. That's the kind of performance Lincoln's all about. Discover it today in the all-new 2020 Lincoln Aviator.
So we've already established that sound affects the taste of a dish. But on a larger scale, the sound of a restaurant also affects how diners feel. Sad music is only going to make a bowl of spaghetti taste depressing. But soothing lo-fi music with a heavy beat can put you at ease, making everything taste just a little bit better. The sound of a dish breaking in the kitchen will add chaos to a dinner course. But entertaining banter in the dining room will keep an evening feeling light and easy. For the same reasons, sound affects how chefs go about their day. Running an operation like East is no easy feat. Each day has a routine that starts with prep in the morning, hours before the restaurant even opens. The sounds that accompany this routine, from the cues of a dish being prepared, boiling water, garlic frying, vegetables being chopped, to the talk that staff have right before service begins, are essential to keeping Sean and his team on track.
During the day, we prep wearing like black t-shirts and like black aprons. And then at 4 o'clock, scrub down the kitchen, set up for service, have staff meal, do pre-service where we like talk about everything. The biggest thing about restaurants, I think, is teamwork and being a family. So our pre-services are very family oriented. Everybody sits down. They're either like eating or they're listening. But kind of what happens every single night is we like look at the reservations. We look at who's coming to eat. And then what we kind of do is we just talk about how we could be better, things that we're doing well and things that we can touch on. We get some like reviews emailed to us through our reservation systems. We read out to the staff. We talk about it. We say, hey, good work. Mainly talk about things that we could possibly work on because we always just want to be the best that we can possibly be. After that, we kind of like talk a little bit about what's going on with each other and we get a little bit fired up for dinner service. And I mean, it's kind of funny. We're like all really close and really passionate about what we do. So like sometimes people get like excited and start like shouting and stuff like that or banging on stuff before service. I don't know, it's kind of like a hockey team, and so we'll say like let's go, and I'll like videotape some people like yelling it. It's kind of funny because there's been times we like scream like let's go and like get like super fired up, and then 30 seconds later somebody walks through the front door and everybody's like polished and like very clean.
At 6 p.m. the dining room suddenly becomes silent and serene. When the first patrons arrive, volume builds up more and more as guests shuffle in, and the evening goes from there.
When a guest first arrives, you start kind of keying in on the noises of East. So when you first open up the door, there's a very distinct sound because we have like this big wooden door. The swinging of it, it's super calming. And then when you take your first two steps into the restaurant, we have white oak hardwood floor. You hear like the creak of the hardwood under your feet, and it's like soft wood. And then the the hostess or a server will greet you. So you'll hear that, and then in the background you'll hear the noise of wine pouring or cutlery hitting the table or people eating. When you sit down, I feel like it'll be more zoned in, a little bit more narrowed out, the sound, because you keyed in on your conversation with your guest. And then you hear servers walking around, taking food to tables, explaining dishes. So you kind of get a sense of like what you're going to be experiencing soon. You can like see some of the dishes or hear some of the dishes being explained.
As the evening goes on, the music in East gets a little bit louder and a little bit faster to match the mood and pacing of the restaurant. The 8 p.m. crowd is slightly more boisterous than the 5 p.m. crowd, and Sean likes his music to reflect that. But even so, the differences in volume are probably not noticeable to the average guest. It's a fine art, selecting music that's alluring, yet comfortable.
So the sound of our restaurant is definitely a little bit more chill than you'd think for like a normal restaurant. There's no like hustle and bustle. It's very smooth, but we play like very chill, kind of like hip hop jazzy music in the dining room. It's very soft, but you can hear your guests. We set it in a tone so there's nobody yelling. So even on a busy Saturday or Friday night, you won't walk in there and it's going to be like crazy noisy. It's always very quiet and people are reserved and they're having a good time, but they're very polished and they feel like they came somewhere cozy.
And in order to maintain that very precise level of noise, just loud enough to make diners feel entertained and at ease, but not so loud as to be overwhelming, Sean has to control sound levels within his kitchen very carefully. But to avoid being too noisy during service and risk dampening the mood of the dining room, Sean's staff has to get creative.
There's so much hustle and bustle and so much going on that you always have to communicate. So there's always people talking, especially during service, telling times, pickup times. So it's like a very quiet yet regimented thing. It sounds like it's a lot tougher than it is, but it's kind of like once you get into the swing of things and the hang of it, it's pretty simple to like know what to focus on. It's tough when you have like an open kitchen. I've worked at a bunch of open kitchens because you have to be super quiet in the kitchen and then you hear the guests talk more and it's a little bit louder and you hear the music of the restaurant, so it's a little bit harder to focus. Lucky for us, we have like a closed off kitchen. We can communicate a little bit easier. That's one of the reasons I wanted kind of a closed off kitchen, because I've had a lot of open kitchens. Maybe I'll open another restaurant up in the future that has an open kitchen, because I do love the energy and watching the guests eat the food, having them watch you. There's like a lot of theatrics behind that, and there's a lot of visually stimulating things and sounds which are great for the dining experience. But there's like different things that you need to listen to. It's not like everybody's talking all at once. When the chef's talking, that's when everybody stops doing what they're doing and listens to the call or listens to the pickup. That's like the number one thing. Then after that, things kind of like taper off as to how they important they are. So like next, entremet and the meats guy communicating how quick they're going to be on the meats, communicating to like the garde manger guy as to when to go on his stuff. Because it's all just timing. That's what the restaurant is. Everything has to be put up at the same time. So it's as hot and goes all out at the same time.
The dishes served at East are undeniably complex, their sonic factor even more so. But Sean says that sound is a factor in every food we eat. Even simple comfort foods, like a bag of chips or a juicy burger. Think of how meat sounds when it sizzles, or how a lettuce leaf crunches when you bite into it. Think of the indulgent noise of opening a bag of potato chips. Just like my electric mixer memory, the associations we create with food are often formed in childhood.
With a burger, if you have like the soft, squishy bun, lightly seared on the bun too, so you get like that bite through that crunch, and then you get into like the iceberg lettuce. The juices don't really break down as quickly, so it's not soft lettuce. So you get like that crunch of the iceberg lettuce that just like makes the burger so much tastier. You're not going to eat iceberg lettuce and be like, I love iceberg, you know? You're going to add stuff to it. Like do like an iceberg wedge salad with like blue cheese or something, but I just love the texture of iceberg and like pop of the water and the crispness when you like bite into it. A lot of vegetables, I feel like, are a lot sound driven. When you bite into a carrot, a fresh carrot, and you just kind of like crack it and that sound, you just know you're going to be eating a carrot and you're going to get like a sweet burst of like this root vegetable. And as a kid, like picking carrots out of the ground in the garden out back, first thing in the morning, the birds chirping and you can like smell the dew on the grass, picking like snap peas and just like eating them right off the vine. It's like so great, the texture and the crunchiness of the pea. I feel like a lot of texture, you know that there's going to be something coming back with it too. When you bite into something, especially a vegetable, and it's like crunchy, you're going to be getting a juicy flavor, like watermelon, like a burst of hydration in your mouth and like sweet flavor.
While chefs like Sean work hard to retain control over what their guests experience when they eat a dish, there's one element that's out of reach. And that's the emotional associations people bring with them to certain meals. Our early years impact what foods we perceive to be happily traditional and comforting, or unwelcome and dangerous. If you had a bad experience with corn dogs as a kid, it's going to take a lot to get you near one later in life. But if corn dogs remind you of the placid days spent at your family's cottage over the summer long ago, you're more likely to want to eat one now. Sean has some of these associations himself, particularly with one crunchy snack food.
A lot of the dishes that I come up with are based off of foods that I would eat, even when I was like a picky eater. Like, believe it or not, when I was a kid, I like ate nothing. I'd pick onions out of food. I'd eat like hot dogs with mustard and ketchup and like french fries and potato chips and pop. And I should be like 5 foot because my diet was so terrible. I didn't eat any vegetables or anything. I still come up with dishes that are like based off of stuff I used to eat as a kid. I feel like when you're a child, you eat more crunchy food than when you're an adult. When you're a child, you're like very picky and you eat things for different reasons. Especially me with my childhood, I'd eat only potato chips. Even to this day, I like love chips. And it's because my dad got them onto me. Like, he'll go play hockey in his men's league and then he'd go home and like crush 2 bags of chips and then go to bed. And you can just hear him watching TV eating chips. A lot of the times you hear a sound and then you immediately get hungry, I feel like. When you like order takeout food, you hear a knock at the door, your mouth immediately starts to salivate because you know the pizza's going to be there. Or like opening up the box of the pizza box and hearing like the cardboard scratch on itself, pulling the piece up. There's just so many things that make your mouth salivate. And I think sound is a big thing with making your mouth salivate and get excited to like eat. And your body knows you're going to eat something tasty.
I do love the sound of the doorbell ringing when the pizza finally arrives. So I wondered, what are Sean's favorite sounds?
I love a good shaker cup, like from the bartender shaking a drink. Or like stirring a cocktail in the glass. The sound of the stir stick, those nice square ice cubes in the glass hitting the edges. I love that. I know I'm going to like get a drink and it's going to be tasty. Definitely one of my favorite things is hearing not only cutlery being scraped on the plate and like enjoyed, but when you can hear the fork and the knife being put down on the plate. So you hear that sound, and then that also means like they finished their plate, they're done, they enjoyed themselves. I love the hustle and bustle of conversation that like you can't really peg out what people are saying. In the kitchen, there's different sounds that I really like. If you listen really closely when you turn a burner on first and it's a gas stove and you like hear the pop of the flame igniting, I love that sound. Especially first in the morning, you like walk in, it's like 9 a.m. Nobody's in the kitchen. Just gets you like super warm. I actually do love timers too, because when a timer goes off, it means that something's done. If it's like baked goods, you get to see how they turned out.
The thoughtful ear that Sean brings to his kitchen during prep, he also brings to curating the soundtrack of his dining room.
I think music depicts a lot of things with a restaurant. It depicts the pace of how you eat the food, how fast you eat it, how much you enjoy it, how much you look at what you're eating. If there's rock music playing in the dining room, you're probably just going to look at your food, eat it really quickly, you know, be aggressive with it. Something that's a bit more chill, laid back, hip-hoppy, you actually enjoy it and eat at a slower pace. Also, I feel like the music depicts how you're going to dress when you show up to the restaurant too. When you picture like a fancy restaurant, the music goes to show what you kind of wear.
Sean also finds that the sounds around him during hectic parts of prep are a boost to his productivity rather than a hindrance. He finds the hustle and bustle helpful, even therapeutic.
There's a lot of stress that goes on with restaurants, and I think the more sounds that are going on, maybe the stress eases sometimes for some chefs because you know that stuff is getting done. Every day there's like a massive prep list that you have to do. The more hustle and bustle you hear, the more you're like, okay, well, this list is probably going to get crushed. I think a lot of people choose to be bakers for like a lot of reasons, but some of them are that they get to be in the kitchen all by themselves and you get to hear the sounds of the kitchen a lot more. In the morning, nobody's there. You get to turn on the convection oven. 5 in the morning, you're drinking coffee. You hear the dough kneading on like the counter, the flour being dusted, the sound of like a bread oven door. They're like glass and have a metal trim on the door. When you close it, it's like a very distinct sound. Put your bread in and then close the door and like look through the glass and watch it bake and rise. No, I think there's like so many sounds that deal with restaurants. It's cool that we're talking about this. If there was a silent restaurant and everybody covered their ears, it'd be like super weird. The whole part of restaurants is like hustle and bustle and eating food in like a public place, you know? I feel like energies aren't really there if there's no noise.
Whether it's the energetic chit-chat around you at your favorite restaurant, the comforting sound of tomato sauce bubbling on the stove with your favorite Sunday dinner music on in the background, or the soft crunch of your fork digging into meringue, sound is instrumental in shaping how we come to love food. And for chefs like Sean, sound is an inescapable part of the creative process. From preparation and cooking to plating and serving, the sound of food is in the details. Special thanks to our guest, Sean McDonald, our show producers, Monica Bia Labreski, Carl Solis, and Audrey Carlton, our sound designer, Alex Glutch, and our audio engineer, Kira Corbett. I'm your host, Carly Lewis. Thanks for listening.